of His Holy Spirit in the house this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I feel challenged in my heart and in my spirit. You know, as we come together, as when we opened up in prayer and, you know, we began to pray. How many know all of us are an alabaster flask? And all of us have an anointing and a fragrance to pour forth in this house. And as you do that, that fragrance fills the room. How many know there's this big thing now? Everybody, how many have heard of essential oils? You know, and that, you know, how all the different fragrances and how they can be healing and how they can be you know, helpful and beneficial to you in your body, and different fragrances and things like that. And you know, that's not a new thing. I mean, no, that was in the scriptures way before essential oils got a hold of it. Somebody just finally going back to some things that was already in there and learning that there are some things in there that are beneficial and helpful to us. I mean, you know, in the art of the apothecary and in the incenses that were used in the tabernacle, there was a blending of the different spices. Calamus and cinnamon and frankincense and all the different things, as Aaron so beautifully ministered to you a couple weeks ago about some of the purposes of frankincense and myrrh and all of those things. Hallelujah. Now, we know each of those had a different purpose and they had a different fragrance to them. Aren't you glad that we're not all the same this morning? Hallelujah. What a boring life it would be if we would all be the same scent, the same fragrance, and the same purpose. And how limited we would be if we all had the same purpose. But we are an alabaster flask of fragrance and healing. And as we begin to break forth out of this shell or this container and allow the power of the Holy Ghost to move amongst us, just like we release the power of the Holy Ghost in this house. How many know it's just a matter of just saying, Lord, I'm just going to release myself and open myself up to you. Hallelujah. And let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Hallelujah. How many believe you are a force to be reckoned with? Hallelujah. Come on. How many of you believe you are a force to be reckoned with? That the power of the Holy Spirit in you, the Lord thy God, in the midst of thee is mighty. Hallelujah. How many believe you have the Lord thy God in your midst? Not just in our midst this morning, but we have him in our midst. And when we know that and we believe that, how many know he is mighty in you? Hallelujah. And so when we come into the house, the Lord wants to pour forth some cinnamon. He wants to release some myrrh. He wants to tap into some frankincense. He wants some calamus and some different fragrances. How many know those are just expressions of the Spirit of God that's put inside of us? And when God begins to stir you and said, speak healing. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And I forgot one, and when I walk back, Tam, I just want to pray the power of the Holy Spirit over your body in Jesus' name right now. Lord, we speak healing to her, Father, to intestinal, to the gallbladder region, to every part of her body right now. And we say, sickness, you have got to go in Jesus' name. And we release this woman of God for healing and provision and power right now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, strength and healing by your blood and by your power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I appreciate your response and I appreciate your obedience this morning to step out in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And release the Holy Ghost in this room. Hallelujah. Because it's not just what one person can do. But I mean, we are a body ministry. We are a corporate body and the hand can't do what the foot was destined and meant to do. I mean, we can compensate sometimes, but how much better it is when the foot operates as the foot and the hand operates as the hand. Amen? I saw a lady one time who had no arms, and she drove her car with her feet. Now, thank God for people who don't take no for an answer. I mean, no, we are without excuse most of our time. We are without excuse. If you want it bad enough, you can have it. If you want it, you can do it. And her feet compensated for what her arms and her hands couldn't do, and she drove a car. Now, you can do that, but how much better it is if you got your hands and your feet operating together and cooperating with each other to do what needs to be done. Amen? And so God's raised us up as a body ministry. And I don't ever want us to think in this house that there are big I's or little U's, or that only one person has the answer or the anointing, or only one person can pray. You have as much power and anointing in your life as anybody else in this house. And so as the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you, let God begin to minister out of you, pour forth out of you, be responsive to His voice. Hallelujah, and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And who knows what God might do in our midst. Amen. Hallelujah. But if we come in and we come in caged up and we're waiting on somebody else to move, then sometimes we wait and we miss our visitation. Not that God just visits and stops by and moves on. Hallelujah. But I appreciated the response from the kids this morning, stepping out and worshiping and allowing the Holy Ghost to move through you. How many know it's not age? It's not set by age. It's not just one person that can minister. It's not one person, just one person that can receive. But as we all are sensitive to the Spirit of God and understanding, and I want to talk this morning about the voice. And we've been talking about this a little bit when we've been talking about John the Baptist. And how that God began to speak to his father, Zechariah, and say, I'm going to give you the one who's going to prepare the way, and he's going to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Hallelujah. As T.G. Jakes would say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Make preparation. Hallelujah. He's going to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And I love the parallel that we see in the scriptures, because God silences Zechariah, the last of the old order priesthood, the old order covenant, the old order sacrifice. He silences them and he says, Zechariah, you're not going to be able to speak until the day comes that you name that baby. And when you name that baby John, which that name John means grace, when grace appears, there's going to be a new voice in the land, and that voice is going to release the Messiah who's come to take away the sin of the world. John said, I'm just the voice, but there is one who is coming who is mightier than I, and not only, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes, but I'm going to tell you, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many know the Holy Ghost comes with fire? The Holy Ghost comes with fire. It is the dunamis, dynamite, power of God in your life. And so, you know, that's why I was encouraged to sing this morning. Just go ahead and sing that song in the Holy Ghost. Because how many know the Holy Ghost comes with fire, comes with power. And I've told you before, my grandma Ethel, she would say, that preacher, he got the fire. She'd get a shiver and a chill, and she'd say, he got the fire. That meant he could really preach. I mean, he really, you know, he didn't just whisper. He had the far when he preached. Hallelujah. But how many know the Holy Ghost comes with fire? It is an empowerment. It is a strength inside of you. And so he said, there's a voice coming. He's mightier than I. And I'm not even worthy to unlace his shoes. And that goes back to whole another covenant out of the book of Ruth. And I don't have time to cover that about the exchange of shoes and covenant with your kinsman redeemer. But how many know he's just saying, let me tell you what, this man can get her done. He's going to do the deed. He's going to get her done. And you're going to prepare the way for him. So I'm silencing that old order priesthood because I'm bringing a new voice on the scene. And what I love about that new voice is it's Holy Ghost driven. Because he said, Zechariah, your son's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. But he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Hallelujah. So how many know the voice that we hear, the voice that we listen to, the voice that should be speaking into our lives must be Holy Ghost driven? Do you believe that? Hallelujah. You know, I instruct people sometimes, I said, right now at this season, this point in your life, the only thing you need to hear in your life are anointed voices. Because if you're not careful, you'll start listening to mixed voices, and one will talk in this ear, and one talks in this ear, and before you know it, you're just as confused as when you started. You need to clear the clutter and listen to the voice Hallelujah. I'm not just talking about my voice. You hear the sound of my voice this morning, but I hope you hear the sound of the Holy Ghost more than you hear the sound of my voice. Because I don't want you to hear opinion. I don't want you to hear my slant on things. I want you to hear what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So how many know we must be driven by a Holy Ghost anointed voice that is always pointing us to the Messiah and is always saying, I don't have it, but he's got it. And when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's a new voice coming in the land that will say to you, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Hallelujah to the church. I mean, Jesus spoke in a voice that didn't sound a lot like John the Baptist. But when he spoke, people listened. But he would say to some, you have ears to hear, but you don't hear. And he likened unto a wise man and a foolish man. How many know he's not talking about builders there? He's not talking about builders, wise men, foolish man, sand, rock. He's talking about, he said, he that hath an ear to hear and hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Hallelujah. So he's talking about a hearer, not hear. He's talking about a hearer here, not a builder. Now, building plays into it. But if you'll hear, then you'll build. How many know my husband cannot build the house until you tell him what you want in that house? First, the voice has to be activated. So how many know we need to be sensitive? We need to turn our ear to hear what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And I truly believe if we are hearing the voice of God in our life, that every area of our life will fall into place because we heed his voice. Marriages, relationship, tithing, giving, job opportunities, careers, all of those things. If we really seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Ghost will speak to you. God will speak to your heart. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about hearing a voice and bring us through some of this you've heard from me say before, so we'll just hit it and roll. Some of you may not, so I don't know where we'll get stopped on it, but we're going to go. Here we're going to go. Okay. So the voice. How many know Abraham hears a voice in Genesis 13, 15? Bring that up. Yeah, do you have Genesis 13, 15 in there? No? Okay. You don't have to bring it up. It says, the very first promise that God begins to speak to Abraham in the beginning, and he says, I'm going to give you a land. A promise. And your seed is going to inherit this land. It's going to be like the sands of the seas, the stars of the heaven. It's going to be an inheritance to you. It's a land you did not work for, but it's going to be a land that flows with milk and honey. How many remember God speaking that promise to Abraham? Now, how many know that promise is spoken before Abraham ever has a seed? See, a lot of times what we do is we wait for the voice after the fact. But how many know God will speak into existence some things even before the door is open? Even before there's opportunity. And so he speaks to Abraham and he tells him, I'm going to give you a land that'll flow with milk and honey. It's going to be a good land and your descendants are going to possess this land. Hallelujah. And so then we come along. How many know Abraham doesn't step into that land? But he's a voice. And along comes his children. And God begins to speak the same to the generations. God's going to give you a land. God's going to bring you into the land. This is not your dwelling place. This is not your residence. The wilderness was not meant for you. We're only here as temporary residents. And how long you stay in the wilderness depends on you. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. So he begins to speak some things. And then along comes men like Joseph who are put in position. And we have Joseph who begins to say to the brethren and all of those. And after God has taken him through everything that he's taken Joseph through, he puts Joseph in position. And he begins to prophesy after he's been reunited with his sons and his children. And he begins to prophesy to them and he begins to say, this is not your home. Egypt was not meant for you. God's going to take you to a good land. He's going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. I'll go ahead and read Genesis 13, 15. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, how long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
Hallelujah. So then Joseph begins to prophesy. Same thing, same word, same voice.
Yeah.
This isn't your home. Don't put out mailboxes. Don't plan on living here for a long time. This is temporary. How many have ever been in some temporary places in your life and you keep reminding yourself, this is temporary. I wasn't born for the wilderness. I was born for something better than this. He said, don't get comfortable here. God's going to take you out of this land. He's going to take you to another land that's been promised to us. And when he does, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Take me with you. In other words, he's saying the bones of those who have gone before and have prophesied and put the word in your heart, we're going with you into what God wants you to do. How many know those matriarchs and patriarchs that have went before me are coming with me into what God is doing right here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm not here by myself.
Yep.
I'm here because somebody had a vision. I'm here because somebody made a change. I'm here because somebody heard a voice. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so we don't stand in this thing by ourselves. Joseph said, and when you go, I wasn't born for Egypt either. You take my bones with you. Because I'm telling you, this is not our home. We're going to the land that flows with milk and honey. So we come along and God, and the scripture, we get into Numbers chapter 13. And in Numbers 13, Moses begins to speak to the children of Israel, and he calls out 12 spies. You remember the story, right? And they call out 12 spies, and he says, now I need you to go in, and I need you to spy out the land. This is the land we've been promised. I need you to go in. I need you to see, is it prosperous? Is it beneficial? How is the land laid? Does it look fruitful? Does it flow with milk and honey? Is it a good land? And so he begins to send the children of Israel. He sends the spies in, and you know the story. They come back with a voice. They speak to the children of Israel. 10 say, it's a good land. Man, they had great posit. We had to carry on poles between us. It flowed with milk and honey. Two spies. No, Tim, I'm doing the 10. 10 spies. They said, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's good land. It's prosperous. But there's giants in the land. 2 said, yeah, man, he said, they got tomatoes the size of bushel baskets. They got cabbage, size of frying pans. I mean, they got, it's a good land. It's a prosperous land. It's the land that's been promised to us. The other 10 said, oh, yeah, it's a good land. But beyond the fruit of that land and beyond the bounty of that land, there were giants in that land. Not only were there giants in that land, hallelujah, Robert taught us on the Nephilim and the giants and how they had come through and shared with us a couple weeks in Bible study on the giants in the land. And they saw the giants, Robert, and they said, it's a good land, but I saw giants there. And not only did I see giants there, those giants saw us. We were as grasshoppers in their eyes, and so we were in our eyes. The voice. Then there's another voice that says, oh, no, 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 no. It's a good land, but we're well able to take this land. Hallelujah. How many know you got a choice which voice you're going to listen to? And what happened is they confessed over themselves, I'm a grasshopper, and I don't have any place in that land. The giants are too big for me, and I see myself as a grasshopper, so it must be that they see me as a grasshopper. And how many know what they did was begin to speak fear into the midst of the camp of children of Israel and fear spread more than the word of Joshua and Caleb that said, this is our land. This is our promise. This belonged to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph prophesied that when you get there to take my bones with you, that is my land, that's my promise, that's my provision. And I don't see myself as a grasshopper. I see myself as well able to take the land. Hallelujah. But because of the confession of their mouth and the voice that said, we're grasshoppers in our eyes, and so we must be in their eyes. It cost them 40 years in the wilderness. Hallelujah. How many know the voice you listen to, and the voice, if it's not an anointed voice and a Holy Ghost-filled voice, how many know it can delay your vision and your destiny? Do you believe that? When you believe it, I'm not smart enough. I'm not rich enough, not big enough. I don't have the right last name. I'm not good enough. Then you convince yourself you are a grasshopper and you reside 40 years in a place you didn't have no business being because God spoke the word and said, that's your land. Hallelujah. And so sometimes we convince ourselves we're not able to do it. I'm convinced that more people that a lot of times the biggest thing that keeps us from stepping out into business, stepping out into opportunities, doing what's really in our heart to do is fear that what if I fail? Do you know most of the people who are successful in business either failed or filed bankruptcy at some point in their life? You know the difference? They didn't stop there. They weren't convinced. They you know, nothing beats a failure like a try, right? And so how many know sometimes it depends the voice you're listening to as to how long you'll tarry where you're at. Joshua and Caleb had a vision and knew the voice, but the spies had a grasshopper mentality and it delayed their destiny for 40 years. How many know they could have went in at once and taken the land, but because the people believed an evil report, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Hallelujah. So we jump over just a little bit, and we come to the place where there's a boy named David, and those same giants come back to challenge. How many know if you don't fight the giants, if you don't fight the giants in your generation, your kids will fight them. If you don't fight the giants in your generation, your kids will fight them. Now, I went to the funeral the other day for Victor Maldonado, and most of our folks know Victor. If you don't, he is the man that founded the Outreach for Youth in Ohio, that they do the drug rehabilitation. They have 20-plus men there right now that they house. They do drug rehabilitation. They do prayer. They train them to go back into jobs and all of the things. They do a powerful work there. It's one of the people that we support with our pennies that come in. How many know he was a giant killer? He was anointed. He didn't take no for an answer. He was the line of men like my dad that they were more hard-headed than they were anything, and no just meant try harder. That don't, if you tell me no, I'm going to prove to you that I can do it just because you told me no. They didn't take no for an answer. They knew how to pray. They knew how. But how many know they had slayed some giants in their life? They had fought some giants of addiction. They had fought some giants of alcoholism. They had fought some giants of despair and abuse. And they had fought some giants that came from rotten row. But God raised them up as mighty men of God and put them in places. And as we stood there and watched the hundreds and hundreds of people come through to pay their respects for that man of God and knew that that man had touched lives and that he was a giant killer. I mean, no, he didn't listen. They didn't listen to voices that weren't anointed. They didn't listen to the opinions of men. Hallelujah. And how many know there was a challenge to me. How many know we need mighty men of God? We need mighty men of God who will hear the voice and respond regardless of what it sounds like to everybody else. Joshua and Caleb said, no, we are well able to do this because I heard a voice and said, it's my promise. It belongs to me. Hallelujah. And so David comes out and he hears the challenge of this giant named Goliath. And Goliath begins to taunt the enemies of Israel. And he begins to challenge them. And how many know all the brothers had the same mentality as the ones who spied out the land? We're grasshoppers and he's a giant. And none of them wanted to go fight the giant. None of them knew how to fight the giant. But I love this story because there was a little boy named David who lived out on the backside of the desert just keeping sheep, playing a harp, and singing songs unto the Lord, that was a worshiper, who knew that the most powerful weapon in his hand was not a sling, was not a sword, was not a shield, but it was the anointing of God and the voice of a worshiper and a harp, because he said, I'll pick up my harp anytime over a sword, because God has proved himself to me and given me words like, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. Hallelujah. How many know he wasn't in the camp of the brothers who were talking smack? He wasn't hearing all the fear talk. He wasn't hearing all the condemnation talk. He wasn't hearing all the doomsday preachers. He'd been back on the backside of the desert, and all of a sudden he pops in. He's like, well, why is nobody fighting this guy? And they were all afraid and they were fearful because of the voice of fear. The voice of a giant was speaking louder than the voice inside of them. But I don't know if David ever really gave it, and I never thought about this till the other day, but I thought maybe David said, you know what, I heard giant stories before. I remember hearing stories about giants, and I remember how they went and spied out the land, and they said they were grasshoppers, and they didn't go in to possess the land, and it cost them 40 years. I ain't got 40 years. I ain't got 40 years to wait around. And they could have taken those giants then, and they didn't. He said, I'll go fight him. I'll fight the giant. He said, David, you're not able to fight him. I love people who don't take no for an answer. You're not able to fight him. Here, put my armor on at least. You know, the best I can do for you is offer what I should have been. I mean, know sometimes you got to, you know, people want to put their vision, their calling, and their purpose on you. And I've seen it destroy people because they carried everybody else's vision and everybody else's purpose and didn't realize who they were. But David said, that's not who I am and that's not what I'm called to be. I took down a lion and I took down a bear, and I will take down this uncircumcised Philistine. I ain't got 40 years to wait. And how many know he goes out against the giant? And you know the story. And the sling goes round and round. My grandson sings this as his favorite story, David and Goliath. The sling goes round and round, and he swings it, and then he goes, boom, in the head. And he falls over on the couch. And he lays there a minute, and then you say, and then all the Philistines ran away. And he goes, yay! And he reads it over and over and over. And Miss Sherry reads it to him. Mommy, Daddy reads it to him. Nana, Papa reads it to him. Because this is a little giant slayer right here. And if he ever figures out he's got the power of God inside of him, he don't ever have to grow up with a grasshopper mentality. He can grow up knowing he's a mighty man of God. He's anointed and appointed. He was destined for such a time as this. Hallelujah. And so the sling went round and round. And he hits the giant and he knocks him down and he takes the sword and he cuts off his head. And he holds up the sword of a giant and says, I told you I wasn't a grasshopper. And you know what happens? All the grasshoppers decide if he can fight them, we can fight him. Because the scripture says, then all of the Israelites went out against the Philistines and they were victorious, when somebody stood up and said, I heard a voice that said, you're not a grasshopper, but you're a giant killer. You're a giant slayer. Hallelujah. I was born for this. And he becomes victorious over the giant. And that's a great and wonderful story. But what I love about the story of David, maybe even more, is, it says, David faced the giants. He refused to live in fear with the same mentality as those before him. He knew he was born for this. The voice of Samuel had called him and said, you're going to be king. Hallelujah. How many know he fought the giant in the Valley of Elah, or Valley of Terebinth is another translation. It basically means the Valley of the Terebinth tree. The Valley of Elah. But how many know the Valley of Elah is where your ordinary becomes extraordinary. Where your fear becomes fame and where your faith becomes freedom. How many are thankful for your Valley of Elah, where you stand up and say, I was born for this. Hallelujah. But not only was he a giant slayer, Monty, and Chris Chambers shared this on a Wednesday night, and I loved it because how many know David wasn't just a giant killer, but he trained giant killers. The mighty men under David, there was at least four mighty men under David who also killed giants. Hallelujah. How many know giant killers hang out with giant killers? If you want to be successful, you hang out with successful people. If you want to be a writer, you might have to hang out with some writers. If you want to be a preacher, you might have to hang around some anointed voices. How many know the company you keep sometimes influences you as to where you need to be? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I believe Jesus hung out with everybody. But what I love about Jesus is when he left the room, people said, man, I won't be like him. Not the other way around. See, what we do sometimes, we hang out in places we shouldn't hang out. And instead of them becoming like us, we become like them. You hear what I'm saying? But when Jesus left the room, they said, man, I won't be like him. He challenges me to live higher, to think bigger. Hallelujah. And so he challenged him. So David not only was a giant killer, but he trained giant killers. He had some mighty men. He had a man like Benaiah who was in his company who killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. I love that story. He didn't just kill a lion. He just didn't kill a lion in a pit. He killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Now, some of y'all feel like you've been Benaiah in the last week because you've been wrestling some lions in some pits on a very snowy day. Can you say thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. 40 inches of snow, you feel like the scripture comes to me, I say, I feel like Benaiah today. I'm going to wrestle this lion and we're going to win. And we shoveled our way out. Hallelujah. Let me know, Benaiah killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. That's an awesome kind of giant killer. Amen. And there were some other guys, and I can't really pronounce their name, and I don't have time to share all of that story with you. Abishai was one, Sibekai, Elhanan, Jonathan, Benaiah, some mighty men. How many know when David got to the cave of Adullam, there was a whole cave full of distressed and depressed and downtrodden men. He said he was in the cave with 400 men in a bad mood. You've heard me preach that sermon. Hallelujah. They were in despair. But before David gets done, he's got 30 mighty men that are giant killers. And those men are in his company. How many know he didn't get heroes? He trained heroes. He didn't get mighty men. He trained mighty men. Hallelujah. How many know we have got to impart to other generations the power of prayer, the power of deliverance, the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. How to get a hold of God. I prayed, I guess it was for Jeremy, I prayed for the other day in the hospital. I said, now when I get done here, I'm supposed to shake my head like this. Because that means it's going to be all right. Because when my dad would pray, he would get the jerk on him. You know what I'm saying? And when he would pray, he'd get the jerk and he would. And I don't say that mocking. Because sometimes I wish I had that. Oh, Jesus. But yeah, sometimes. My dad could hear the national anthem and the Holy Ghost would get on him. That is the honest to goodness truth. And he would start shaking his head and he would try to stop it. But the Holy Ghost would move on him. And he would shake his head and he would like that. And our kids growing up would say, Mom, you got to pray till your head shakes. Because then that means, yes, you got it. It's going to be all right. They thought that was Pap saying, yeah, it's okay. And it was just the Holy Ghost on Pap when the Holy Ghost would shake his head and he couldn't stop it. I've seen the real deal. I've seen people hold on to the seats and shake in the Holy Ghost until they would literally rock the pews out of the bolts out of the floor and rock the pews where the Holy Ghost was on them so strong that it would hit and shake them. People slain in the spirit and hit their heads on pews and lay there and you were sure they were dead and get up and walk out. Because the power of the Holy Ghost laid them out on the floor. I'm telling you, the power of God is real. Yeah. Hallelujah. Margie shared out there how Victor came to be at Outreach for Youth. And she said he didn't start out looking for Jesus. He started out looking for a safe place to hide from the Italians because he'd sold them some bad drugs. And so he went to Teen Challenge because he had some friends that went there and they were safe. And so he went to Teen Challenge to find safety, and in the midst ran right smack into Jesus. And so if you'll get in the presence of the Lord, you'll find him whether you're looking for him or not.
Absolutely.
You hang out with giant killers, you're going to find out you got a little giant inside of you. Hallelujah.
The David story of the cave that you're talking about, he went there to hide and found some monks that had his trophy, his sword that he used to kill the giant with, and it reminded David of, wait, this isn't as bad as it's been before. We can do this. But it's they're running to hide, and God places him in a place where there's some men praying who happen to have this trophy of his past victories. So sometimes if we just remember the things we've overcome, we'll realize the thing that we're facing now really isn't any bigger than that. God's always faithful.
He goes to the priest of Nob, and he said, don't you have any weapons here? They said, we don't have nothing here except the sword of the trophy, the sword of Goliath. He said, you know what? I don't need the sword. I just needed the reminder. How many know that sword was always too big for David to swing it? But it was the reminder he needed, the voice that reminds you, wait a minute. Yeah, yeah, wait a minute. What am I doing in this cave?
Joshua went back and sent spies a second time. They went in and they found Rahab. And Rahab said, where have you guys been? We've been terrified. We've been waiting on you. We know that God gave you this land a long time ago. And while I was sitting here, I looked it up. It says, and the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, and they were laid down, blah, blah, blah. And so she said unto the men, I know that the Lord have given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint, and in the Hebrew, melt, because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites. They were on the other side of the Jordan. Like, we saw you on the other side. So they're on one side of the Jordan, afraid of the giants. And the giants are on the other side of the Jordan, terrified, and it says melting in terror over the guys that are over there. And he says, we saw what you did to Shinan and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So I just thought that was really something. The whole time, they were waiting on him and ready to surrender because they had heard what had happened, and they were terrified. They were melting.
Amen. I love that because it said, we heard about you. We've been hearing the voices of testimony. We've been hearing how faithful your God is. We've been hearing how mighty your God is. We heard a voice. Hallelujah. It's so important to hear the voice. It's so important to hear the voice. John, in the book of Revelations, he said, I heard a voice and I turned. Hallelujah. How many know the voice will cause you to turn and look and see what's already been done? God wasn't turning John to go back to something. He turned him to remind him, and he said he started seeing the golden candlestick, and he started seeing the layout of the tabernacle and the temple and all of those things, and he was reminded of what's already been done, what's already been finished, and what's already been accomplished. Hallelujah. So they heard. We've heard about you, and we've been shaking in our boots. Hallelujah, because we see ourselves now as grasshoppers. And we see you all as giant killers, giant slayers. Hallelujah. And so he trains mighty men. Hallelujah. If you want to be a giant killer, you need to hang out with some giant killers. I'm thankful for the...
that won't take no for an answer. And, you know, Victor was really heavy into drugs and dealing and heroin and all this. Even spent time in prison. And when he met Margie, Margie was this little good little Christian girl, you know. And family didn't want her to have anything to do with Victor. But it's strange how God puts people together to work together. And he looked at Margie and he said, I want to marry you. He said, but you're not very pretty. I think right there I would have said, well, you keep your ring because I don't want you. But you know what? God connected those two people together. Because whatever Victor did, Margie did alongside of him. I mean, God always gives you a helper. God always gives you somebody that, you know, that you least expect, you know. Jack Hiles was probably been my last choice of getting married. But I already told God I was going to marry the first one that asked me, and he's the first one. So that's how bad I wanted to get away from home. But God put us together. I believe that with all my heart, that God put us together. I was the salt to his pepper, you know. And that's the way Margie was with Victor. But God doesn't just pick the great and the mighty, the powerful. God picks those, like you said, that won't take no for an answer. When God speaks, they hear the voice of God, and they step out and do it. And, you know, Jack encouraged Victor when he was building his new church. And Victor was waiting on money. He was waiting on somebody to drop a big wad of money. He said, Victor, start out with what you got. He said, when we started, we had $500. And we used that up. By that time, we had another $500. And he said, we did the work of God that way. When we got done building the building, it was paid for. And that's God. Those things are God. And, you know, we took all kinds of ridicule, all kinds of, you know, they'll never make it. Jack Hiles will never make it as a, you know, preacher and all that. But we're still here.
Glory to God.
We're still here. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the faithfulness of that. And the faithfulness of Jack and people like Victor and Margie and different ones that stick to it and work at it until it's done. And the God's glory fills the temple. And I just give God glory this morning. I just think he's so wonderful today. I don't know. I don't know what all he's got for me today. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm up for it.
Amen.
I know. And I appreciate my kids and people around me, you know. I got up about 6 this morning to go to the bathroom. And when I got to the bathroom door, I went off balance and fell backwards. And if you know my house is on a concrete slab. So that carpet wasn't very padded. But, you know, I didn't hurt myself at all. I hit the bed, and the bed stopped and broke my fall. But my son-in-laws and my son, Jim and Monty and Andy, it took all 3 of them to get me up. Thought we was going to have to call Rigger, but we got it. So I thank God for their strength. But I thank God for people that will stick together and people that will work, you know, together to do what God wants done. One person can't do it all. We got to be a body. We got to work as a body. You were talking about the feet of the lady that drove the car with her feet. Well, if we have to drive something with our feet, then we got somebody beside us that can use their hands. And that's, you know, it's like when Nehemiah built the wall, rebuilt the wall. While some of them worked, some of them watched her back. And then they took turns. And that's what we got to do. We got to get to a place, Pastor Lisa, where we're a together people. We're a group of people. We are a body, hands and feet and faces and, you know, back and, you know, shoulders. We've got that people. And that we've got that body here. And I am so proud of this church and these people here. I just think we got the best group in the whole world. And I just love every one of them. And I just praise God for his goodness and his faithfulness.
Amen. Thank God for mighty men. Hallelujah. So then we come over back to the voice, and we come to John the Baptist. And the scripture tells us that John came eating locusts and wild honey. Another translation calls it grasshoppers. Honey and grasshoppers. Hallelujah. John came eating locusts and wild honey, which was a type of a grasshopper. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost's voice will eat up a grasshopper mentality. The voice you hear will determine your mindset. And the voice that he proclaimed was, prepare the way of the Lord. Get ready to change your mind. Get ready. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. A word released in due season will bring a new priest, a new kingship, and a new line of giant killers. Hallelujah. How many know the anointed, Holy Ghost-filled voice will eat up the grasshopper mentality in your life? Isn't that good? Hallelujah. That causes you to believe, I'm not a grasshopper, but I've been anointed and appointed. Hallelujah for such a time as this. And so then Jesus comes along, who's the ultimate giant killer. The word Golgotha, or the name Golgotha, is thought to be the place where the head of Goliath was buried. So Jesus, son of David, stands on Golgotha's hill. And when a king would go out to battle and would be victorious in battle, when his enemy was dead, he would put his foot on the head or the neck of his enemy. And that would mean he had conquered. I mean, when Jesus hung on the cross, he put his foot on the head of Goliath, the giants in our lives. Hallelujah. And it says, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. Goliath, the name Goliath means to uncover, to remove, or to go into exile. Jesus defeated the sin of the garden that causes you to want to be uncovered, to be ashamed, to be removed, or to run and hide, or go into exile. Jesus hung out with the lowest, but when he left the room, they wanted to be like him, not the other way around. Know who you are, what you have been anointed for. Be the voice that challenges people to try harder, climb higher, and dream bigger. Hallelujah. I mean, Jesus was the ultimate giant killer. We are victorious because he is victorious. Hallelujah. And a voice in due season that's a Holy Ghost anointed voice. And sometimes that voice comes out of here. Sometimes that voice comes out of here. Sometimes it comes in the still small voice. Sometimes it comes when the heavens opened. But an anointed voice in due season will remove a grasshopper mentality and cause you to remember who you are, to rise up and say, I was born for this. Hallelujah. Do we have any giant slayers in here this morning? Hallelujah. I refuse to be a grasshopper. I was thinking we need a church t-shirt that just has a grasshopper with the slice in it. No grasshoppers. I'm not a grasshopper. Hallelujah. But I was born for this. Anointed and appointed. Hallelujah. How many know the kingdom needs mighty men? And that's not just gender, just about gender. It's men and women of God who are mighty, who are called, who are purposed. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me this morning. That's a lot of information without a lot of backup, but that's okay. Look me up this week. Make sure I'm preaching the truth, the gospel. Hallelujah. As we sing a song this morning, I just want to give an opportunity. If you feel like you are sitting in a place where you feel like you are called into ministry, and I'm not just talking about preaching, or, you know, you feel like God wants to move you into something, and it may not even be in, it may be in job arenas, it may be in this house, it may be an area of ministry or calling or whatever it is, and you've just been fearful to step out into what God wants you to do. But you know that there's something down deep inside that God is speaking to you, and he's calling you, and but you're thinking you're more of a grasshopper than a giant killer. Or maybe you're just not sure the purpose or calling of God in your life. I want you to just step out of your seat, if you would, and come up here to the front. We just want to take a moment and lay hands on you. And I really just want to remind you who you are. But I want you to hear the voice. See, I can come back to you and say, you know, the Lord wants you to do this or the Lord wants you to do that, but I want you to hear God's voice for yourself. Whatever he's stirring in your heart, that's what he's bringing about. Whatever he's speaking to you, whatever he's showing to you. So if you're in here this morning and you want us to just pray over you, say, Pastor Lisa, I just need propelled into the next level. I just need to have the faith. I just need to have, the strength to just go into the next level of what God wants to do in my life. Hallelujah. Just step out of your seat and come to the front, if you would, as we sing a song this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.